Welcome to the North and South of Things podcast, a show dedicated to discussion of topics important to the LGBT community and the community at large. Here are your hosts, Mark and George.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the North and South of Things. And joining me all the way from Atlanta, Georgia, is George.
Mark, how are you today?
I'm doing well. You know what we're going to be talking about today, George?
I hope something fun and interesting.
Well, it is.
And tasty.
It's tasty as well. We're going to be talking about beer.
Yum.
But before we get talking about beer, we have to mention something called the Rheinheitsgebot.
Okay.
And the Rheinheitsgebot is basically, it's the German beer purity law that was developed way back in 1516 in Bavaria.
Say that again for me.
Rheinheitsgebot.
Gebot.
Yes.
And so this is a pledge you have to take, or?
It's actually the German beer purity law. And there are only certain ingredients that are allowed in beer in order for beer to be called beer.
Really? Kind of like champagne can only be made in the Champagne region of France.
And yes, it's something similar.
Idaho potatoes can only be called Idaho potatoes if they come from Idaho.
That's correct.
Okay.
And where bourbon technically is supposed to only be from the bourbon district in Kentucky.
Ah.
But these ingredients are simple and very straightforward. And the only ingredients that could be used in the production of beer were water, barley, and hops. That's it.
Okay, so it has to have those things, but it can't have other things as well.
Correct.
Okay, good.
Basically, that and the addition of yeast, which ferments the barley and gives us the wonderful alcoholic quality to beer.
So, you know, people, and I'm one of these, there are people who just think beer is beer. What's the big deal? But as I sort of explore a little bit more, I had a good friend, Jim, a former college friend who came in from D.C., who took me across the street to the world of beer. Mm-hmm. And sort of overwhelmed me with a lot of information. I had no idea it was so complex.
Well, in America, we're having a real resurgence of beer, especially in the craft beer movement. And these are beers that are produced in smaller batches and using great care and quality of ingredients. It's basically like an artist's palette. You have these three ingredients and yeast, and you can put them together in ways that produce just a rainbow of different kinds of beers, different styles.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll get to that in a little bit. But with the advent of Prohibition in the 20th century, it basically decimated the beer brewing industry. In America, pre-Prohibition, there were just uncountable numbers of breweries that were in every town and city, and St. Paul is no different. We have a rich history of brewing here in the city and actually in the state. And
is that where St. Pauli Girl comes from?
Nope. St. Pauli Girl is a beer that was developed in Munich, Germany.
Sorry.
So
That was too easy. I'm sorry.
It was too easy. And so with the craft beer movement, I read an article recently that basically had said that America now has more breweries in the United States than it had before Prohibition. So it's very robust.
Wow.
And it's a local thing. When beer was around, you basically drank what was available and what was nearby. Mm-hmm. We could discuss a little bit about how IPA came into being. Mm-hmm. That's an India Pale Ale. And the reason why that style of beer, which has a bit more hops mm-hmm. than other styles of beer, hops has a bit of a preserving quality to it. So as you know, the English loved their beer. And when they were out conquering the world, especially in India, they wanted to have their beer. But the beer was being shipped by rail and it wasn't keeping very well. It would spoil on the journey due to various climate and weather and that sort of thing.
Right.
So you have that problem. And so the IPA style India Pale Ale was developed where they would add more hops, which would get the beer from England to India.
That's fascinating. It's awesome to hear the history of that. That was going to be a question because I see IPA on everything, and it wasn't mm-hmm. until I was in Max Beer and Wine in Midtown Atlanta just minutes ago that I saw India Pale Ale. I was like, oh, that's what the I means.
That's right.
And so it's rooted in history of the British conquering India.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, that's fascinating. So there are types of beers, and then there are styles amongst those types.
Correct.
What are the basics, the basic types?
Well, your basic types basically fall into two categories. One is ales,
mm-hmm.
Which are brewed at a temperature of, they're allowed to ferment around 68 to 74 degrees.
Okay.
And a lager style is actually a cold style. So you're talking about anywhere between like 38 degrees and 54 degrees.
Does that mean ales would have higher alcohol content than lagers?
Not necessarily.
Okay.
Usually the alcohol content is kind of dependent upon how much sugar is in the wort. And that sugar comes from the barley.
Mm-hmm.
Whether that's a malt syrup or a whole grain that is crushed.
Right.
And that style, all grain brewing is fascinating. I have a friend of mine who actually does it, and it's a labor intensive process. It's a lot easier for a home brewer basically to do what's called an extract kit. Where instead of using grain, they use a barley malt syrup that is made into a wort that then ferments.
Mm. So when I looked up types of beers to prepare for today's show, they listed stouts and porters as another type and then malts. Do those actually fall into the two main categories you just mentioned?
Yeah, they fall into the ale category. Stouts and porters, they're darker.
Okay.
So they're a little more robust. So, but they're still an ale category.
And then malts are ales or lagers?
No, the malts are basically the kinds of malt that is used for the brewing process.
Mm.
And there are so many different kinds of malts, but it's usually dependent upon the region where the beer is made. But, you know, in the 21st century, brewers have a choice of just literally, you know, dozens of different kinds of malts. They can use different kinds of hops to kind of get a flavor profile.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's kind of like a grown-up's chemistry set.
This is not unlike people's fascination with wine.
Exactly. Beer is as complex as wine can be.
So the other thing that confused me and still confuses me, and I'm sure I'm years away from working it out, because I'm frankly not a beer fan. I'm not a fan of what the yeast makes me feel like in terms of sort of bloating and whatnot. Mm-hmm. But the thing that confuses me is you can add this style approach on top of these various types. So you know, amber and blonde and dark. And I'm just like,
yes.
I'm like, oh my God, there's too many choices here.
Well, it's kind of nice. Here in Minnesota, there is just, like I said, there is a resurgence of craft brewing. There is a tap room that is about 2 miles from my house. Bad Weather Brewing is the name of this particular brewery. And so these breweries are building facilities that have community tap rooms. So basically you go there and order beer, and some of them make sodas to have a non-alcoholic sort of option for those who don't like beer. Mm-hmm. And it's really more of a community kind of feel to it. And so what the breweries have been doing is they have what's called flights.
Right. Like,
and so you would go to the tap room and you would order four or five different beers in smaller glasses, and then you could taste what's available.
Hey, I have an urgent question.
Sure.
How long should you leave beer in the fridge, in the freezer, before it explodes?
Not very long. I would say half an hour.
Okay, I'm just going to go ahead and pause this right here. I'll be right back.
We don't want to have any sort of accident.
Calamity.
Right? Yes.
Okay, sorry, fans. sorry about that. So, Mark, we're going to do some tastings here shortly, so I'm excited about that. And I had originally secured a couple beers that looked interesting at the local Publix, the Von's East, and I tasted them earlier this week. I was like, well, I may as well go ahead and get a preliminary taste and see what, and they were just awful.
Well, the ones that you had mentioned to me that you had tried earlier in the week are both produced by large volume producers.
Yep.
So you're getting kind of a watered down version of something that's, you know, produced in a smaller batch.
Mm-hmm. So that's the brilliance of the local craft small batch breweries.
Right.
Better taste.
They have pretty much control over from the start to the finish of whatever they're trying to do. And a lot of breweries will take a style of beer and will play around within that style. There was a tap room that I went to last weekend called Hammerheart Brewery, which is a Nordic themed, you know, Viking sort of tap room.
Mm-hmm.
And they make primarily ales, but they do what's called Rauchbier, which is smoked beer. Which is the barley is
smoked beer
is smoked. So during the process of their fermentation and their making of the beers have a very smoky quality to them. You can actually smell the smoke, mm-hmm. and it also imparts a taste into the beers. But they produce a very high alcohol content to their beers.
Mm-hmm.
So they're very big beers, and they're also doing some things which are really exciting. Is they're taking some of the ales that they're producing, and they're letting them age in bourbon barrels.
Wow.
And
crossing streams.
They are crossing streams, and I have to say, last weekend I had one of the best beers that I have ever had. It was an Irish red ale called the Dublin Raider, and it was just an amazing beer, and I'm very excited. They have a pumpkin ale that is aging in some of these casks. And it's not going to be ready until October. Mm-hmm. So I signed up for their email newsletter to let me know when that is happening.
Very
because that's
cool.
Something that I'm really excited to try.
So before I ran hectically to the freezer to get my beer, you were talking about flights. And I'm sorry for the interruption.
The flights, basically, so you have these four or five different beers that you can try. And that kind of gives you an idea of what that particular brewer is up to. And, you know, a flight of beers, you know, anywhere from like $8 to $10. Mm-hmm. So,
and these would be little cups, right?
Yes. Yeah. I think they're usually like 4 ounces maybe. Mm-hmm. So, it's really, you know, variety is the spice of life.
Yeah.
And so it gives you the opportunity to try a lot of different things in order to find out what you like.
So I have mentioned the World of Beer across the street, and they are so nice. I've tweeted a couple things back and forth with you about their little tasting. I did see them run a flight of beer because it's almost like a paddle, like a fraternity paddle that has holes cut in it, and they put like a series of glasses in it. I've never had a flight, but I've went in a couple times and actually told them that I was getting ready for this podcast, and they're like, well, what do you think you like? And so I tried like one from all of the major sort of some of their major categories, mm-hmm. and then they'd bring me like a little taste. And it wasn't one of those 4 ounces full. It was like maybe maybe an ounce in it. And that was extremely nice and helpful because I was able to quickly zone in that I'm probably not as big a Belgian fan. I'm definitely not a lager fan unless it's got some additional flavor to it. Mm-hmm. I had a chocolate lager that was amazing. You know, it's probably more helpful to point out what you don't like than what you do like. But the interesting thing is talking to people like yourself who know enough about it to give you an explanation. Gosh, what was the one they let me try last time? I told them I tend to like the lighter things and things with a little bit of fruit. Mm-hmm. And so they had me try I want to say it was grapefruit, guava. That was the most disgusting thing I've ever tasted in my life. Like, as soon as it hits your palate, it's just like this explosion of awfulness. I was like, oh, no. I'm a fan of both of those things. You know, apart, but not together and not in a beer. Have you had a mistake beer like that before?
There's a style of beer that a friend of mine really loves, and these are sour ales. Mm. And they do have a sour profile to them. And it's due to the fact that these sour ales usually are not using a particular strain of yeast. Basically, they're using wild yeast, that yeast that's in the air that we breathe. It's everywhere. And they're allowing those wild strains of yeast to ferment their beers. And they have a sour quality to them. And for me, it's like it hits my palate in such a way where it's just like, we do not like this. And I've given it more than the college try. I think I've tried like six different sours. And basically, it's not a style that I like.
So I'm thinking of another reaction I had that was similar. A lot of talk about the Angry Orchard apple ciders. And I thought, you know, that's a no-brainer. That sounds pretty freaking awesome. I did not care for that. It was too vinegary. It was too much cider. I don't know. It was weird.
Yeah, ciders, Angry Orchard, there again, a large producer of ciders. You know, I wasn't really a fan of ciders until a friend of mine had a cider tasting party that she had. And she had gone out and acquired several different bottles from smaller cideries. And I actually tasted good cider.
Ah,
so okay. Don't write it off quite yet.
But the single biggest thing I'm hearing today is look for smaller, more local brewery. Certainly smaller.
Yeah, smaller. You know, they have the ability to do some interesting things.
Yeah. So are we ready to taste?
We are.
All right. I'm going to pause us here and run get my beer. And we're back. Okay, Mark, how about you go? We're both going to taste two, right? Do you have two to taste?
Correct. Okay. I have two. The first one I am going to try is from a brewery that's about 2.5 hours north of the Twin Cities near Duluth, Minnesota. And I love the name of this brewery. It's Castle Danger.
Castle Brewer. Danger. Let me guess. And it's a black can. I mean, a black bottle with red writing, kind of stabby font.
This is a what they're calling a Castle Cream Ale, which is actually it's a lager.
It's a Castle Cream Ale, but it's actually a lager.
Yes, it's a lager. The cream ale is basically kind of their name of it.
Wow, so Mark's beer even comes with sound effects, if you can hear those sirens in the background. Wow.
So this is a lovely lighter lager, and it's based this brewery uses what's called a taste profile. So they kind of know what they want the beer to taste like, and then they develop a recipe in order to achieve that result. And this is based on cream soda, basically.
Oh, wow.
So
now, was that in a can or a bottle?
It's actually in a can.
Excellent.
And more and more of the craft brewers are starting to use aluminum, because they used bottles in the beginning because it was a cheaper sort of way to package their product. But now that aluminum is cheaper and the equipment actually is starting to come down, it's not so much of a capital outlay.
Mm-hmm.
So you might see a lot of craft beers in cans,
and don't shun away from
right,
those.
Right.
Okay. Actually, one of mine too is in a can.
Mm.
So tell us about the dark. What is it again? What's it called? Dark.
It's Castle Cream Ale.
Castle Cream Ale.
And it was created while they were sitting around the kitchen table during the startup days, and they needed a sessionable beer. Now, a sessional beer, you might ask, well, what's that? And a session ale or a session lager is something that is very easy to drink,
mm-hmm.
and you can drink a lot of it mm-hmm. without getting, like, hammered.
Okay.
So the alcohol content on this particular beer is only 5.3%.
Okay.
So, which is in the strong beer category.
It is in the strong beer?
Yes. Okay. Strong beer. I'm sure you've heard the term 3-2 beer.
I have not.
Okay. 3-2 beer is 3.2%.
Okay.
Which is a very watered down, would take a lot for anyone to kind of become intoxicated on. So, anything higher than 3.5%. is considered a strong beer in the eyes of the law, of the land, so to speak. So this is a lager. It's very light. It's crisp. It doesn't have a lot of hops, so it's lightly hopped.
What would be the hop? What would
creamy mouthfeel
for us novices? What's the hop flavor? Is that the earthy?
That's the bitter note.
Bitter. Okay.
So, one of the things that's happening in this region of the country, which I absolutely hate and despise, are super hoppy beers, and they've been nicknamed Hop-pocalypse.
Yeah, yeah.
And those of us who have, you know, a very sensitive palate, who may be what's called a super taster,
mm-hmm.
who can detect bitter, you know, more so than other people,
mm-hmm.
This is a style of beer that I wish would go away.
It's the equivalent of overdosing with hot sauce.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's like, just because you can put a lot of hops into a beer doesn't mean that you should.
Mm.
Hops and barley and any sort of other ingredients that are going to be in there, they need to balance each other out. And I find this heavy-handed use of hops to be just, you know, maybe that's my own snobbery, but...
No, it sounds like a very logical concern. I mean,
yes.
I'm sure there might be those who enjoy that, but it doesn't sound like it's really meant for the people who are super tasters or who want some discernible flavors, not just hop, you know?
Yeah.
All right. Can I tell you about my first beer?
Yeah. What is it?
It's from a company called Orpheus Brewing. The beer itself has a name. It's called Atalantia. So it's like that. It's like they put another A in Atlanta. Atalantia. And it's a tart plum. And I think this is the word you were just using. S-A-I-S-O-N.
Oh, that's Saison.
Saison, not a session. You were saying
right.
Session.
Yeah. A Saison is a French style of beer that was basically developed on the farm. It's often referred to as a farmhouse ale.
So it is a tart plum Saison. And let me tell you, kids, there is truth in advertising. Oh, my God. This was it gave me the same shock as the ciders, except it's more flavorful. You definitely get the plum. You definitely get the tart, but not the vinegary of a cider, if that makes sense.
Right.
Mm. It says that it's a mildly assertive, fruity, acidic, and dry. I get all that.
Mm-hmm.
Its acidity and fruitiness make it an ideal complement to most cheeses and oysters. What the hell? Oysters are thrown in there for. But its dryness... and only mild assertiveness means it can be paired very well with poultry, delicate fish. It has enough flavor to be paired nicely with strong curry. Do you worry about the pairing so much? Or when you're drinking beer, it's more about the beer?
When I'm drinking beer, it's more about the beer. But yes, beer is very much like wine. You can pair it with different kinds of foods. And actually, there is a brewery that's called Surly Brewing, which isn't too far from where I live, that has a restaurant attached to it. And they do something that's called the Brewer's Table, which is a high-end meal that is paired with four different beers throughout the course of the meal.
But that doesn't sound like that's your normal taproom outing. That sounds like that's something special.
Actually, the taproom is downstairs. The brewer's table is upstairs.
Oh, I got you. Okay.
Yeah.
Very neat. Anything else on your first beer?
It's really tasty, and it's kind of making me a little burpy.
All right, because I'm somebody who needs his beer cold, I'm going to go into my second beer if you don't care.
No, go ahead.
We'll switch the order. This is, I have seen this label in the store, and I really like it. It's Posters It's a silhouette of a man in a business suit with a tie and his hand raised in the air. It's Monday Night Brewing. Monday Night Brewing. And the beer itself is called Fu Man Brew. And it's a Belgian style wit. I don't know what wit means.
It's that's kind of a wheat based beer, which is usually using wheat instead of barley, and it's usually unfiltered, which lends it to kind of a cloudy, hazy.
Yeah, you have nailed it. It's cloudy. Yeah. It's darker in color.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So it's got a picture of something, two little icons. One says Pilsner and wheat malt, and the other is a Hallertau. Is that a
Hallertau? Yes.
Is that the kind of hop that it's using or something?
I think so. Let me just do.
So the description says it's a bright, I know there's supposed to be some, ginger involved here, according to the guy who sold it to me, a bright and spicy Belgian style wit. An effervescent, easy-drinking wheat beer brewed with Belgian yeast, German hops, and a whisper of ginger from the Far East.
Yeah, the Hallertau is a kind of hops.
Oh, you can definitely smell the ginger right off the bat.
Mm.
It's heavier just in the smell. Oh, yeah, I'm not a fan of that.
Yeah, I was... you know, based on your comment about not liking the Belgian styles of beer, I'm not surprised.
I mean, it's not horrible.
Right. It's drinkable, but it's just not to your taste.
No, it's probably some of the it's better than some of the other Belgian, and maybe because this is a Belgian style, maybe it's not a full on Belgian. Is that how I would read that?
It's probably the taste profile of the Belgians comes across in the specific kinds of yeast that are used, and you know, these yeasts are very much kind of sometimes proprietary. Breweries will patent their yeast.
Oh.
They, you know, develop these strains of yeast and they culture them for years. And so it's, you know, it's kind of like pharmaceutical grade yeast. And so they're very guarded.
Interesting. So from guarded to open, let me read the rest of this description. The name Fu Man Brew was crowdsourced with some help from our friends at Scout Mob. They call the mustache a flavor saver for a reason. Which that's kind of funny, Fu Man Brew. Yeah, interesting. I should mention both of these are Atlanta breweries. Mm-hmm. In fact, the first one, the Orpheus with the Atalantia, tart plum saison. That's actually very near Piedmont Park, so it is, as the crow flies, less than a mile from me.
Ooh,
I'll need to find out if they have a tap room. Is it generally understood that they all have tap rooms?
Not necessarily.
Okay.
With the craft brewing movement, you know, more and more breweries are putting on tap rooms.
It's certainly in their best interest, no?
It is, because, you know, it fosters a sense of community, and it also, you know, they can make a lot of money, is basically it. Yeah. And especially in Minnesota, not too long ago, there was, we have blue laws here in Minnesota, which means you cannot buy off-sale liquor on Sundays.
Mm-hmm.
But you can go to your local tap room and buy what's called a growler, which is basically about a half a gallon. It's usually kind of a jar or a jug.
Hmm.
And you can bring this in and they will fill it up for you and cap it and charge you a modest fee.
Wow.
For that. So it's usually $12 to $15 for a growler of beer.
Wow. Tell us about your second beer.
Actually, I made a mistake that the first beer, Castle Cream Ale, actually is an ale.
Oh, it is okay. An ale. Okay.
It is an ale. The second one that I have is from Summit Brewing, which is literally down the street from me, the opposite direction of Bad Weather Brewing. And they have been credited with one of the first craft breweries in the United States. So it's a local, much beloved brewery. They just added a tap room. Prior to that, it was just a brewery. You could go and you could get a tour on like Friday afternoons. But now they have their own tap room, which is very exciting. One of the things that I like about beer is that it is kind of a seasonal thing. So you have different kinds of beer being brewed around the calendar. Mm-hmm. So right now, here we are, we're in March, and they produce a style of a blonde Bock lager.
Blonde okay. Bock lager.
So this is called My Bock, which is a style of beer that is produced. Usually you're moving out of the darker beers at this point in the year, and you're kind of moving towards the lighter summer beers, but kind of this kind of straddles it. And this is called a My Bock.
I have heard My Bock. Isn't that a wine?
No.
Am I confused? I'm there's another word. My Bock. I've heard of My Bock or something similar sounding to that.
Mm-hmm. Well, this is a blonde Bock, and these are usually, you know, it's a spring beer, but it still has quite a punch to it. So,
As far as seasonal stuff, you said it's March, but it still has a punch to it. Does that mean the winter beers have more of a punch than the spring?
Yeah, the winter beers are usually dark, and since people, you know, were agrarian based, they're running out of stored food, and so they would get a lot of their calories from beer.
Das Bier,
yeah, Das Bier. You know, so your stouts and your porters. I often refer to a stout beer as a loaf of bread in every bottle.
Wow.
Because stouts. It's really hefty.
So stouts and lagers are the things I need to stay. I assume lager is sort of in that category too.
Not necessarily. Lagers can be rather light,
really?
And very refreshing. So this one happens to be just a little bit more body to it. And this one is, 6.7% alcohol.
Oh.
By volume.
Wow, so that's in the strong beer category.
Mm-hmm.
Can I ask you what IBUs are?
IBU is an international bittering unit. So this is a scale kind of like on the capsaicin scale of hot peppers.
Right, right.
So the more IBUs that are in a beer, the more bitter it's going to taste.
Does that mean the more hops it has in it?
Correct.
Okay.
So I like the IBUs to be relatively low.
Mm-hmm.
Once they get more than 40, then I start to be uncomfortable.
Wow. This Fu Man Brew has only 15.
Right. So it's probably quite smooth.
Yeah, I'm sitting here with both glasses, and the one I'm going back to more is actually the Fu Man Brew, the Belgian style, because the other one, the plum saison, is really tart.
Mm-hmm.
Don't mind us, kids. We're just drinking beer.
Yeah.
Kids, we're out of time, actually. Mark, this was just enough to whet our appetite. We might have to do more beer reviews in the future.
I think we should. I encourage those of you out there that want to explore beer, you know, just poke around your town or your city. I'm sure that you're going to find some sort of craft brewing happening somewhere, because it's happening everywhere now. And go out and explore. It's a great, great big world of beer out there.
That says it. That wraps it up, kids. We'll be back to talk about another beer at another time. But next up, we're recording another episode, which might be more entertaining than the beer. So, because of the beer.
That's right. And to everyone out there, prost, everybody.
Thank you for listening to this episode of The North and South of Things. More information available at northandsouthofthings.com. Follow Mark on Twitter at Laughing Buddha. That's LaughingBuddha. And George at George in Atlanta. Our podcast theme music is provided by podcastthemes.com.